Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
We're going to get into the kind of the message in a moment, but the message really comes out of where we are with God at the moment. And again, I've mentioned already that we had an encounter evening, our first one here. And I don't know about you, but I really kind of experienced something new in God. I mean, Richard gave a little bit of testimony about, you know, his cool dance. And, you know, it takes a lot to move a 6'8" New Zealander, unless they're doing the haka, which, no, you don't do that, no. So I won't get him to do that. But, you know, it takes something beyond your experience to make you do something new. And God, at the moment, in these 40 days, and we're kind of not quite halfway through, we're at the beginning of the third week, is God wants to do something new in us. But the reason why he wants to do something new in us is because he really, really wants to do something new through us as well. He wants to use our lives in a significant way. Just look at the person next to you and say, "You are significant." If you can't say the word significant, just say, "Your life matters." God wants to do something significant. And the amazing thing about Jesus is he is tremendously skilled, gifted, talented at taking nobodies and making somebodies out of them. Jesus is incredibly brilliant at taking has-beens and wannabes and making somebodies out of them. Jesus is incredible at taking broken lives, healing them, making them well, and then making them tremendously fruitful. In other words, Jesus does not operate dependent on our worth, but upon our value. And God has put tremendous value on you. And the Bible says that he moved heaven and earth. He would ransom nations for you. He values you beyond your worth. Ooh. Nice lectern, Richard. And in these 40 days, for me, I've just been finding, and maybe some of you as well, is that the whole value and worth that I see about myself and about what I can do and about what I can't do and about what I should do and about what I shouldn't do, God is reevaluating all of those because I'm seeing that he can do all things much better than me. So you said amen too loudly, probably. He can do all things much better than I can. Amen. He is totally gifted, totally passionate, totally sorted, totally purpose-minded. Jesus has a brilliant, brilliant purpose. But guess what? That purpose includes you. Amen. I got it at the back. I haven't got it in the middle. Sorry. Because it's called tiered seats, it doesn't mean you have to cry. I really need to get up at your men's group.
You do.
I do. So we're just going to look at a couple of bits in the Bible, a couple of scriptures. I mean, some of it comes from the end of probably a well-known story. You've probably heard of it at primary school or junior school or some kind of school or kindergarten or whatever. What do they have in Australia? Beach parties, barbies. Yeah. Kindergarten. What, Borstal? What is it? I don't know. What is it? What? Same ones. It's just on the beach, right? With your thingies. Shane, you are allowed to speak. Do you want to say anything? Okay. Oh, I love it. So at the end of this story, and this story is about the sower. I don't mean sow a needle, put in thread, not that kind of sower. I mean a sower who goes out with a whole bag full of seed and sows it or throws it around creatively, however you want to look at it. And just going to dip into a verse here at the end of this particular piece of the story and then go forward a little bit because I think God it wants to just encourage you and encourage me about sowing. Thanks, Andre. I'm glad you're here. Andrea is the voice person for the whole of the people here. So if you can't think of anything to say or respond, Andrea will do it for you. Just tell her what you want to say, text her or send it down, and she'll do it. So in Mark chapter 4, in verse 20, it says, "Seed sown on good soil, hear the word." So that's important, right? Is that The soil is talking about potential. The soil is talking about the object that God wants to change. But God isn't just going to change it without getting involved with it. So he sows a seed. He puts something of himself, of his nature, of his love, of his passion, of everything that's good about God. He takes something of himself and puts it somewhere which isn't of himself at that time, which is called you and me. So if we just, as Jesus described it in another part of the Bible, is he said the soil is a man's heart. So this reminds you and reminds me that God takes something tremendously powerful, tremendously creative, has tremendous destiny in it, but he puts it very intimately into the soil of our lives. I think that's brilliant. Isn't that much better than just dialing God? God, are you there? And you get an engaged tone. Or God be us on holiday. Maybe he's out. God isn't like that. Or maybe we kind of experience God maybe this morning and tomorrow it's like, well, where's God gone? But no, the God that I know, Jesus, doesn't just stay away. He puts the seed of his own nature and life into the soil of my life. Man, that's powerful. Immediately, I have a choice, and the choice is stated next. It says, and they accept it. I have to accept something, and maybe you have to accept something. And the something is this. I'm only soil. But man, the seed has got God in it. I'm only barren, if you like. I'm only dirt, mud. However we describe ourselves, we could be like the horticultural showground sword, or we could just be some old quarry full of flint. It doesn't matter. What matters is the seed has the potential to change the nature of the soil. Amen. And I think that's brilliant. I don't have to self-till, or I don't have to try and fertilize myself. I don't have to try and break up my life so that it somehow is... No, no. God's passion is... This seed is going to transform the soil. It's going to transform it from just being a field into being a vineyard. I think that's awesome, don't you? Then it goes on here and it says this. And it produces a crop. This is God's heart for you and for me, I believe. It's not just to put a... Is it for me? It's not just to put a seed in the soil and leave it as a seed and look over our lives and say, well, one day I did touch their lives. One day they did experience me. One day I did speak to them, maybe at the Bible. One day they went to Kingdom Faith Worthing and they kind of felt something. No, no, God doesn't want to leave it with just a soil-based response. Man, he wants to go far deeper than that. He also wants to activate what he's sown so that he can see fruit. It's not the fruit of the soil, it's the fruit from the seed in the soil. You understand that? So without God, I'm fruitless. Man, I can have tremendous potential. I can be a Levington grow bag. I can do all those things. What's the best kind of compost? Harry Innes. Thank you. Who said that? Can I just see your fingers? Oh, they are green. So, we can be the best John Innes grow bag, pay for four and get the fifth one free that we like. But we remain just inert. The soil was made to produce something. But it can't do that without a seed in it. Otherwise, we just feel like we're living on the shelf of life. We just feel as if we're restricted in life. We just feel as if our sell-by date is going to come and go. And No. The seed changes all of that. It says the seed produces a crop. But what does that crop look like? I love God's maths. He doesn't kind of use the same kind of mathematical equations as us. God says the minimum is 30. 30 times what I put in is the baby growth. That's awesome. That means that this seed, how God has influenced my life and how God has changed my life, there are at least 30 people that God wants to touch through you as well as in you. At least. But then it goes on. 60. Or even 100. Isn't that amazing? There is some statistic, I can't remember who came up with it, probably some American scientist somewhere who was getting millions from people, who said that most people within six relationships know at least somebody else that somebody else knows. Do you know that one? It's called...
6 degrees of separation.
Did you just make that up? Okay. But you see, God doesn't want any degrees of separation. He's not interested in, I'll give you a seed, but then watch how this person is successful in life and get jealous. I'll give you a seed, but see how everybody else is doing and get envious. He says, no, the seed I put into you has the power in it. It has the nature in it to produce on its own. Just look and see what I'm going to do through the seeding of your life. Do you understand that? It's not about comparing one piece of field with another one. The grass is not greener over there. It isn't. The grass is greenest where you feed it and water it the most. Oh, what is the grass is green. It isn't. The grass is the greenest where we have the best seed in it and we look after it in the best possible way. I'm just going to move. Is that very good? See, Andrea is doing all your work for you. Let's just go down another verse or two. Verse 24. Consider carefully what you hear. So it's about hearing. Said they heard the word. Last week we're looking at how the word has made us clean. When we hear God's word, something happens to us. When we accept God's word, even more happens to us. Tremendous potential is released. It says here in verse 24, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you, and even less. Who's reading the screen behind me? It says even more, right? That means with just this seeded life, as I begin to let it grow and expect to see 30, 60, 100 fold, it's going to go off the scale. God is just giving 30, 60, 100 fold as a bit of a guideline to encourage me. What he then goes on and says, it's going to be even more. In other words, when you receive Jesus, when we receive this seed of life, the potential of his life is far greater than all of our lives put together. The potential of what he can produce is far bigger than every Christian conference we've been, every piece of God channel. It's all of that combined and some. But he's going to work the best part of him out in the best part of you. Hallelujah. Goes on here and says this. This is the kind of the nut of the message by the nut. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. But night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. That's the power of this seed. It isn't determined upon you trying to make it work, whether you're conscious of it working or whether you're not. The seed is the life of God. It's the kingdom of God in a seed. Now, again, you probably would have been, you know, we've been around churches enough and we've been around Christian conferences enough to know that the mustard seed, when it starts, is the smallest seed you can get. You can get squillions of them in your hand. Now, I did have an issue with this, and I'll explain what it is. It's one thing to have a million seeds in your hand. But just think this for the minute. When God looks at that handful, he's numbered them. In fact, he's named them. One of them's got your name on it. It's more intimate than just, here's a handful of seed. Chuck it out. See what happens. No, what God is saying is, there's a seed here. It's got your name on it. It says Norton. It says Fred. It says Richard, and I'm putting that seed in your life because I'm going to then grow out of you, prosper out of you, increase out of you, be fruitful out of you. But it's not going to be more Richard, it's going to be more Jesus in Richard. So it's not just about, well, you know, God's just tossing stuff about willy-nilly. No. This is very deliberate, very intentional, very purposeful that Jesus says, here's a seed of my life. Shane, I'm going to put that into you. It's the kingdom of God. It's going to grow. It's going to nurture. It's going to prosper. It's going to be plague resistant. It's going to be sickness resistant. It's going to be poverty resistant. It's going to be disease resistant. It's going to be season resistant. Whatever the season is, it's still going to grow. Whatever the winter looks like, it's still going to grow. Whatever the leaves look like, fruit is coming. Because it's not a seed of the natural, it's a seed of the kingdom of God. That's the seed that we receive when we give our life to Jesus. But what the seed does is it just grows. Verse 28, all by itself, the soil produces grain. Tea's ready. All by itself. The soil produces grain. First, the stalk. What does the stalk look like? It protrudes. It juts out a little bit. It breaks the surface of nominal. It tills the ground. It breaks it. Separates it. It's just a stalk. Yes, I know, but it's a stalk of God. It's a stalk of his life. The soil has become bigger. Hallelujah. Then it goes on here. It says the stalk, then the head. There's potential there now. There's growth there now. There's a bit of maturity going on there. It's not about the height. It's about what it contains. Hallelujah. Then it goes on and says this. Then the full kernel in the head. Certainly more than just one seed. I don't know how many wheat seeds there are in the head. 40, 50, 1,000. I have no idea. All I know is that once the seed has gone in the soil, destiny is assured. Once the seed is in the soil, 100-fold is assured. Once the seed has gone in our heart, fruitfulness is round the corner. Once the seed has gone in our heart, it's inevitable. Even though we don't quite know how it works, it seems to work. The grain, it becomes ripe, and then the sickle's put to it because the harvest has come. And I just want to remind you that whatever your journey of your faith, whatever your journey of being a Christian has been, whether it's been really great time of blessing, whether it's been loads of difficulties in it, that's behind you. That's just how God has prepared time and space and circumstances around you to make sure that the soil is the best to produce. But even all of that doesn't affect the seed. The seed affects the soil. And the seed is God. It's divine. It's perfect. It's powerful. It's full of God's life. And whatever our journey behind us has looked like, God wants us to meet him in a way in these days that something changes. Maybe we just accept God in another level, in a new way. I have no idea. Maybe for some of you, you accept yourself in God in a new way. I have no idea. Maybe Jesus is saying, come a bit closer. It's all right. And we're saying, God, I really want to, but I'm afraid. Well, Jesus will give up after we give up, if you like. Whether we're afraid or not, Jesus is saying, just come anyway. It may be that we just want to see God use us a bit more in our life, but we don't quite know what that's going to look like. Jesus is saying, that's all right. I'll show you. I'll teach you. I'll still grow through you. Because I am. Do you understand that? So what I think to kind of close is this. We are soil. And it's all right to be soil. The seed, if you've received Christ, man, that's got power in it. The nature of God in it. All the things that I've explained already. All we need to do is be intimate. Let the seed take hold. Let Christ be God. Let Christ be Lord. Let Christ rule, not just over the seed, but also over the soil. Because he will help us to water it in prayer, in thanksgiving, in our language, in our lifestyle. That waters it. I know some people, I mean, I'm not married to one, thankfully. You might be one. I know some people that goes in their greenhouse and sings. Don't admit it if you do, okay? I mean, I don't know. Some people do. Why? Because personally, I believe not so much about singing over your marrow so that you win the best marrow prize. But I do know Jesus sings over me. And I do know he sings over you. What's he singing? Not your past, but your future. What's he singing? Not who you were, who you will be. Do you understand that? The Bible says two or three times, I rejoice over you with singing. But what's he singing? I think you're brilliant. I think you're awesome. You're going to make it. You're all right. You're going to get over it. He doesn't sing about who we are. He sings about who we will be. He doesn't sing about where we've come from. He sings about where we're going. Why? Because he knows the seed responds to that kind of sound. It does. That's why the Bible says, in all things, give thanks. Rejoice always. And because we're kind of slow, he says, and again I say rejoice. So we get it. Why is that? Because I think it describes how the sower, God, sees the seed of himself over the soil of our lives. Every morning that we get up, God is rejoicing over you. Every time we just follow the prompting of God, God rejoices over you. Even when we get it wrong, God still rejoices over us and helps us to put it right. God doesn't pull the seed out and say, that was a waste of time, I'll put that back. He doesn't do that. So let's all stand up, shall we? We're just the soil, right? But it may be that we just need to accept. Actually, God is right all the time. Now, you might think, well, I know that. But we only live in not just what we know, but what we know that we know. We've just made a decision. Yeah, that's true. I know it's true. It's not the same as the truth that I live in.
That's right.
So, okay, just close your eyes. It's fine. Nobody's going to rob you. But I just pray right now that some people in the room, you just accept right now that God actually thinks you're brilliant. God thinks you're awesome. He thinks you're all right. He thinks you're someone he can work with. He thinks that you're someone he can produce a harvest through. Because he's the seed and he's the harvester and he is the harvest. When he looks at your lifestyle, he doesn't rejoice over what it was. He brings it into a place where you can get it renewed and cleansed and separated. But he's rejoicing over you now and your future. And he's going to be using bigger words than we may have heard. He's going to be using things like, you're great, you're going to do it. Come on, just keep your eyes on me. Just stay focused. I believe in you. I've given you my power. I've given you my life. These are incredibly powerful words of intimacy. Those of you that maybe know Jesus, as you read your Bible, God wants every word to be like a seed that nurtures the seed of life that's in you. When you pray, it's like you're watering that seed. I'm expecting 30-fold. I'm expecting 60-fold. I'm expecting 100-fold and even more. I know there's more in my future than there's ever been in my past. I know that there's more of Jesus coming forward than I've ever experienced coming behind me. Because that's the nature of the seed. So Father, I pray right now for everybody over this place, everybody in J24/7, everybody united. The Father, man, they're just going to accept that you're God and you are true and you are right. And in that, we're going to accept ourselves that it's all right when we muck up sometimes. It's all right when we're a bit afraid sometimes. As long as we come back to the seed and say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, I thank you that you love me. Jesus, I thank you that you're for me. You're not against me. Jesus, I thank you that you've done everything so that I can live a life with you. Even when there's hurt on the inside of our lives, Jesus, you came to heal the brokenhearted. You don't band-aid it or plaster it. You just give us a new heart, Jesus. And a new future and a new destiny. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. I thank you that for some of us, we know there's a stalk there. We're kind of poking out a little bit above life. But there's a head and there's a fullness in the head to come yet. The greatest fruitfulness are ahead of us. I want to thank you that you want to use everybody in this room so powerfully so effectively, to communicate your love and your power to people, into society, into the world that you put us into. I want to thank you for testimonies, for healings. Thank you for miracles. Thank you for opportunities to share about your life. Father, I thank you for workplaces, marketplaces, school places, home places, where this seed is just going to poof, it's just going to grow, and people are just going to respond to you. If you just want to talk to Jesus, just in your own words, please. You've been listening to me for ages. I know that. You're very kind. You're very faithful. If you just want to talk to Jesus in your own words, please just do that. Just talk to him. Sometimes this is part of acceptance, isn't it? We hear loads of stuff, and sometimes it goes in one ear and out the other one, but acceptance helps it come into our heart. It's like, yeah, that you're talking to me this morning, Jesus. That was me he was describing. I've been a bit like that. Lord, I'm really sorry. Forgive me. I thank you that today it's a new day. Whatever your response is, maybe it's, yeah, thank you, Jesus, that I can see some fruit. But man, I want to see more fruit for you. I want to live more for you in the future than I've ever done in the past. I don't know what your response is. Let's just take a couple of moments. We're not going to have any atmospheric music. We don't need that. You just need to hear and then respond. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise you. Feel in my heart that one of the things that can really challenge us in terms of accepting God, I have mentioned this, is that we just can't accept ourselves. We don't want to look like we do. We want to be taller or shorter or better looking or thinner. Well, we all have views like that. God's view is a simple one. I love you in spite of that. I love you in spite of that. And what he's saying to you is, don't try to be like the celebrity that you want to be. Just make a decision to be more like Jesus. And as you do that, you'll find a freedom comes. As we were praying this morning at 9, God was very clear about freedom. Free to be a child of God. Free to be a fruitful vine, free to be in the vineyard of God, free to be abundantly blessed. It's all right to be abundantly blessed. The seed has abundant blessing in it. He wants you to touch it, taste it, and see that God is good. Maybe you've got millions in your bank balance. Well, you're blessed. Maybe you haven't got anything in your bank balance. Well, you're still blessed. Maybe you've got loads and loads and loads of friends. You are blessed. Maybe you haven't got any. Well, you are blessed, and God will certainly want to give you some. So, Father, I thank you this morning. That everybody here, if we know Jesus, if we've given our lives to you, then we've given the soil into the hands of the sower. We're not going to turn around now and tell the sower what kind of seed he should have put in the ground. If we've given our lives to you this morning, Jesus, we just submit totally to the sower. To God and say thank you for the seed of life, for putting Jesus in our lives. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, putting the power of God in our lives. Thank you that we are now alive with Christ in God. We're now alive, not just in the now, but in eternity. Thank you that we're now alive and we have God's life in us now, not one day when we die, but because you've already died. Maybe you don't know Jesus in this way. That's absolutely fine. Jesus knows you in this way already. If you don't know Jesus as friend, as your Savior, as the one who can turn your life around and give you a new hope and a future, please come and talk to me or Andrew or Richard, who came up earlier, and just say, I'd love to talk a little bit more about what he was talking about this morning. We'd love to do that. Father, I want to thank you for every heart in the house is a good heart. I thank you for every seed that you've put in is a great seed. I want to thank you for the abundant fruitfulness that you're bringing us into in these days. a fruit that will last, and a fruit which will glorify God. We thank you. We pray. Come on, let's just give him some praise and some thanks. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just take a seat, just sit at a person next to you and say, are you having a good time? If we can have the band out, that'd be awesome.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.